Johnson, and this is Game Picks.
Hello and welcome to Game Picks, the NFL preview podcast, where I go head to head with my friends from around the NFL to see who can cut it when it comes to deciding the winners and losers every week. I'm of course your host Neil Reynolds, and my guest this week is a man who often leaves me stumped. I like to pride myself on my NFL knowledge, but this man can recite starting lineups from the 1980s, Super Bowl lineups. He is, of course, England and Leicester rugby legend Martin Johnson, probably more apt for this podcast. Big 49ers fan and a former Leicester Panther, right, Jono?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Keep the faith.
Honestly, you do stump me sometimes. Whenever we've had conversations, you're the only person who ever leaves me going, oh yeah, cool. And I'm like, I have no idea. And then I go running off to Wikipedia to see.
You do know. There wasn't much else going on, was there? So
80s NFL, you are probably, that should be your mastermind subject.
Yeah, I think reading Touchdown magazine or First Down, whatever was around. I mean, if the internet was, I'd never have left the house if the internet was available then.
And what you like on predicting games?
Pretty terrible, especially with this. I mean, this season's tough, isn't it? Because there's been no preseason. I think some teams will get better if their morale can stand the losses. You know, because as soon as you lose, everyone's calling for everyone's head, and it's so tough nowadays. But I think the class of the league is still the class of the league. But
right.
I think who else will come through is interesting.
It is a bit of a lottery. We'll get to all of that in a second in our picks. So, and we'll also a little bit later in the show delve into how you got into the sport and how much you kind of love the sport, maybe then and now. I mean, you're a bit old school, aren't you? You kind of like the mud and guts of it back in the day, right?
I during the lockdown, you did have opportunity to get into the depths of YouTube, and I miss the frozen tundra of Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
With the old stanchions, must have been terrible to watch games there.
Yeah, but it was real, wasn't it? You know, it was real. And I mean, I remember Jerry Glanville, the sort of quite he dressed like he did dress like Johnny Cash, didn't he? And
yes.
He was in the all in black.
Yeah,
and I remember him going there and said. When I come here, I bring a nail and a hammer, and I hammer the nail in so I can hang my jacket up in the changing room. It was just something about watching, you know, the freezing cold games and things. Just everywhere was. I tell you what, I miss as well. The old base, you know, they used to play on the baseball stadium, didn't they? A lot of teams. 49ers.
Especially the first half of the season, right? You'd see the Raiders, the Dolphins. Yeah, and they'd go running across the field. You're like, what the heck is that?
And they'd be covered. They'd be covering all the sort of, the baseball muck, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams, the 49ers, a lot of them, half the teams were playing on Shea Stadium, even if you go that far back.
So basically anyone who could get tackled to the ground and come up looking a mess, that was your cup of tea.
Covered in filth, It was just, I missed it.
All right, we're going to get into that a little bit later, but let's make our game picks. Okay, Jono, let's get into these games. So we'll start with the Big Six. So we'll go into these games in a little bit more detail, and then we'll rattle through everything else. We will pick every game, though, and then we'll see how we do. Let's start with Indianapolis. They're 2-1 at Chicago, 3-0. So the Bears have had to scratch and claw to beat Detroit, the Giants, and Atlanta, who are not NFL powerhouses, but a win is a win. So which way are you leaning in this one, do you think?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It's Foles going to.
Foles is starting. Yeah, Foles is starting now.
And the Colts have got Rivers.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
It is in Chicago. Yes.
This is tough. I'm going to go Bears.
You're going to go Bears. I'm going to say that when they're tough, by the way, you'll notice a theme soon. Because if I am confident, I'll just go steaming straight in and give my pick. If I'm not sure, I like you to justify it. Yeah, I like you to lay your hand first see. But I actually think Indianapolis is the better team. I think a lot of Chicago's long-term success is now going to depend on whether Nick Foles can be a long-term answer because longevity's never been his thing. Comes in, excites everyone, and then gets hurt or tails off. So that, to me, would be a bit of a worry.
I've only gone Bears on an emotional pick, really.
Because they were good back in the day.
No, I just like the Bears, you know, in Chicago. Yeah. They should win. Yeah, I mean, the Colts have got Phillip Rivers, they've got the more experienced quarterback. I like it when the certain teams you don't like seeing struggling. So I like the Bears going well, even though they were sort of, you know, the anti-49ers back in the day. But
right.
That's a tough call. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I'm hedging my bets now.
Yeah, that is a tough one to start. Let's move on to Cleveland. They're 2-1 at Dallas, who are 1-2. But for that amazing comeback against the Falcons, Dallas would be 0-3 right now. Jerry Jones threw a tiny bit of sort of subtle shade at Dak Prescott after Sunday's loss to Seattle. Jono, you'll have a stat. Have this one. Here you go. Dallas's defense is giving up a touchdown pass every 12 pass attempts.
The Cowboys have just flattered to the sea for a long, long time, haven't they?
Right, they really have.
Yeah, yeah. And they've had good, they've had this good old line. They've got Elliott, when was the last time they won a playoff game? I mean,
crikey, yeah. It's been 24, 25 years since they were in the NFC Championship game and went on to the Super Bowl.
When they won that Super Bowl, I know that team was coming to an end, but. You know, they had a little down period at the end of the 80s, but that was sort of like 3 years, not 25 years. So yeah, I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna go the Browns, and I've got a good mate who's a Cowboys fan, so I'm just gonna do that to annoy him.
Just gonna do it to wind him up. I think there's a sense of desperation with Dallas already. I think the offense is good. I'm gonna pick the Cowboys at home. It's one of the games. I should have checked this before we started. The fans are back in as well this week.
In seven
games. Yeah, I should have told you that. But you know, you should have done your research.
Yeah, sure.
Let's move on to Pittsburgh. 2-3-0 teams. This breaking news. Just as we are recording this, about 5 minutes before I started, the news has come that this game's being postponed. But we're going to pick it anyway because it looks like it's going to move to Monday night or Tuesday night, because of course Tennessee have had this outbreak. 4 players testing positive for COVID-19. 5 personnel staff have tested positive. They can't get in their facility until Saturday. Just from a professional athlete preparation point of view, Jono, that's tough, isn't it, not to be able to get any training in?
Yeah, it is. But I think the times we're in, you've just got to, everything's been different anyway. So you've just got to. You know, they haven't had a pre-season, they haven't had lots of things. So I think it's just part of what we're in at the moment. So, yeah, it is. In some ways, it sometimes does concentrate everyone's mind, though. A little bit of adversity. You know, instead of just being in the... Suddenly things are different and you've got to go, right, we haven't got the prep, so everyone just focus. It sometimes actually can help you in that everyone just really is on red alert even before the game because they know they haven't... because they've got to be, you know, it's out of the norm. You can't be in your comfort zone. So that was always quite a big game to pick anyway, wasn't it?
It was 2-3-0 teams, yeah.
Yeah.
Just on the COVID before we pick it, I think the NFL as well made it quite clear at the start of the season, almost kind of preparing the ground for this. We're saying it might not be a perfect season. It might not be exact competitive balance. One team might have to play off a short week, might have a couple of days of practice missing. And everyone would have signed up for that if they were promised NFL football, I think.
You've just got to deal with it. I mean, people, you know, we get asked this question about numerous sports. People are dealing with far worse than that. So, you know, you just need to get on.
And perspective.
Yeah, just get on, do the best you can do. And I think on that big picture, it's going to be an interesting season. I think the class of the league is the class of the league. But I think that there might be at the end some pretty, you know, a lot of teams around 8-8, 9-7 or whatever, trying to get into a wild card perhaps at the end if there's a space left. So, you know, it's still early days. It's still early days. But that's quite a tasty game, that one, isn't it, Titans?
Yes. Steelers. So Pittsburgh are 3-0. Big Ben's got 7 touchdowns, just 1 interception in 3 wins. Tennessee have beaten teams, again, who've got a combined record of 1-8. I believe in Pittsburgh's defense. I think the way they get after the quarterback with TJ Watt and... you know, I think actually they are a defense-driven team now. I'm going to go Pittsburgh to win this one on the road. What about you?
Yeah, I'm ditto, really.
Yeah.
You need some constants in your life, and the Steelers having a good linebacking crew,
yeah,
and being able to get after people, and just being a consistent team,
yeah.
You know, even when you're not, when they're not great, they're still good and tough. I mean, they always used to give the, and always do give the 49ers a hard game, even when they weren't a great Pittsburgh team. They'd be tough. So you want that? They're Pittsburgh Steelers, aren't they? It shouldn't be anything other than that. So I'm with you.
All right, let's move on to Buffalo at Las Vegas. So Bills are 3-0. The Raiders are 2-1. They suffered their first loss last week against the Patriots. Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Bills, he's averaging 346 passing yards per game. His quarterback rating, 124.8, is second in the NFL. I just wondered from a you know, an elite player and an elite coaching point of view, you've been in both positions, how much you ever try and rein somebody like a Josh Allen in? And I'm just thinking, I don't know if you saw the game last week with Buffalo, the drive in at the end, and he's so confident. And then all of a sudden he's running, and then he just throws this weird lateral out to the side, which luckily for him rolls out of bounds. He did the same at the end of the playoffs against Houston. He'll give you those scary moments. But again, how much do you kind of, I'm not very good at analogies, but it's almost like there's a young colt who hasn't been broken in.
No, exactly what you're saying. He's a bit of a, didn't see all of that game. I saw some of it, and I was WhatsApping with a group of mates, and I just said, you know, he's a bit of a gunslinger, isn't he? That's the term they like, and he's a bit of a gunslinger. I think you've just got to, he's got to learn, hasn't he? He's got to learn when and where.
Right.
Because the deeper you go into the postseason as a team, people are putting you under pressure. There's less margin for error, and those things, generally good solid play. Without, you know, and I know I'm a little bit on the conservative side, but you know, it's good solid play. Yes, we've seen, you know, the running quarterbacks of the last decade and now doing so well, but they have that skill set. He's just going to learn, isn't he? Hopefully, the best ones learn as they go and become better. You know, you should be a better quarterback 8-10 years in than you were 2 years in,
right,
with the experience. So, I mean, they were using him. He was short yardage as well. He was quarterback and short yardage, wasn't he, at one point?
I mean, yeah, and also he rarely slides. He's always trying to hurdle someone. And that's where I hope that, okay, if he loses a fumble, that's himself. One thing. Yeah, yeah, but if he breaks himself and he's out for the season, there goes Buffalo's season. I really like this Bills team. I'm excited about Josh Allen. I'm going to go Bills on the road.
Yeah, I'm with you again. I like him. I hope the Bills, you know, they've had, I know they've been to the playoffs recently, but they've had quite a lot of years up there of not being great. I remember when Kelly went there in 86 and revived football in, what do they call it? Western New York State.
Western New York.
In Buffalo. Because they were struggling, weren't they? And he didn't want to go.
Oh, my
blah,
goodness.
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he revived them. They had that great team. So hopefully, you know, Josh Allen can be a great quarterback, because I think there's you know, three or four guys going to be going out of the league in the next few years, and we need those next. We've got a few great ones coming through. We know Mahomes and Jackson, but it's always good to have great quarterbacks.
Yep, absolutely. Bills haven't won the division since '95, and I'm not got his details in front of me, but I'm going to guess that was before Josh Allen was even born.
Probably was.
Let's move on then to New England at Kansas City. Tasty one. I tell you why it's really tasty for me is because obviously Mahomes is so special, but if it, you know, and we kind of, I had a production meeting this morning actually about Sky Sports, and one of the things they said was, oh, you know, this is could be an end of the dynasty, beginning of a new dynasty phase. And I was like, well, hang on. If Cam Newton doesn't get tackled at the goal line in Seattle, New England are 3-0. You know, they're not exactly putting out to pasture at the moment. So it's going to be a fascinating one, because Belichick's had Andy Reid's number as well. He's 7-3 against Andy Reid.
Yeah, he can coach, can't he, Belichick? I'm pretty safe with that statement, aren't I?
Yeah, you're good. You're good on that one. I agree. Who do you like? What do you see this one? How do you see it playing out?
I think the only downside of this game, I'd love it to be a bit later in the season.
Yes.
And them playing for home field.
And that same last week with Kansas City, Baltimore. I mean, I get coming out the gate strong and, you know, making sure you got good ratings, but these sort of games, these are tasty games that Kansas City have had back-to-back. They should be weeks 13 and 14.
Yeah, I'd like there to be a little bit more in play, because I think whoever loses, it's not gonna sink their season. But
no.
It depends. I mean, the Patriots are going to want to prove that they're still a team without Brady, and Cam Newton's going to want to prove that he can steer the ship. The Chiefs are going to want to prove that they're the Chiefs and worthy Super Bowl winners that they are. But you've got to motivate yourselves with those sort of get that chip on your shoulder thing. So hopefully, it's really really tasty and. Mm. They're both trying to, you know, be the top dog in the AFC, because there's some good teams in the AFC, isn't there?
There really are, yeah, with Baltimore there as well. I think New England have changed their way of playing as well, obviously,
they've changed their way of playing. The incredible thing with the Patriots, yes, they've had the same coach and the same quarterback, but they've been different teams.
Right.
They've been different teams, haven't they, over the years, with, you know, they had clock killing Corey Dillon and Antoine Smith going way back. Then they got Randy Moss, and suddenly they were...
Right.
They were scoring points, and you know when they came on the scene, they were defense and the offense just doing off for the defense to win the game, weren't they? Then Brady, you know, comes through, and I mean you can't even really remember the amount of great players they've had there either for a lot of years or just a few years at times. So they've been able to change and just work with what they've got. Let players go, manage the salary cap, let very good players go, rather than overpay them, and just keep winning. So
I'm really tempted to pick New England, but I don't think I've got the bottle, because I went against Patrick Mahomes last week against Baltimore, and then Mahomes reminded us all he is top dog at the moment. So I'm going to go the Chiefs.
Yeah, I am as well at home, but you know, we could both be sitting here next week going, we said how good Belichick is, and we betted against him. We bet against him.
It's a difficult one.
Betted not being a word.
Yeah,
we bet against him.
We betted against him. Well, you didn't have to point. I thought that was good. I was happy with that word. If I would have gone with it. Yeah, we were going to bet against Mahomes or Belichick. It's a lose-lose.
Chiefs.
Okay, we're both going Chiefs. The last one of the big six then. Philadelphia at your San Francisco 49ers. So Philly, 0-3. The Niners need to stay, as I texted you, I think, earlier in the week. They need to just stay and play in New York all season long, because they're dominant in New York.
Well,
is that a good sign of depth or just weak opposition?
I think the latter. I think we have got good depth, and we are.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of stability in that team through Mullins has had to play before when Garoppolo... can't even say his name.
Garoppolo. You got it.
was injured, so you know he's been exposed to playing without getting burnt by it, because it was sort of okay, he's injured and the season's what it is. So, and I think he's a bright kid and a good guy. So we have got some. I don't think there's great football teams in New York right now. So, this is another test, because there's, you know, even with winning last week, we lost Jordan Reed at tight end.
He's out 2 months now, yeah.
Yeah, we're signing any available. I'm surprised I've not had a call to come and pass rush off the edge, you know? I'm available.
You can give them... How many plays, Jack, you can give them?
How many plays?
Yeah.
As they want. I might not be any good. But
right. You'll definitely go out there anyway.
I can promise that even if I do my ACL, I will stay out there, you know?
At what point in your rugby career would you have morphed from a, like, explosive off the edge pass rusher to a kind of run stuff in nose tackle?
Well, I'd have to have eaten myself into that. to eat yourself to 300 pounds in a week.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like the 49ers. I'm going 49ers. I think Philadelphia's offensive line's really poor. They've got injuries as well. Jalen Reagor's out at receiver. Alshon Jeffrey could be out. DeSean Jackson could be out. Dallas Goedert at tight end. The offensive line's banged up. I mean, these are two banged up teams.
Keep going. Keep making
Yeah, I know.
Feel
I'm
good.
Helping you good, right? I'm going 49ers.
I've got to go 49ers because I'm a fan. I just think it's a game the Eagles could turn up. Traditionally, particularly away, the Eagles have given us a hard time over the years and given us some whoopings over the years.
Mm.
But at home, I think, just.
I love it. It's like you're scared to jinx it. It's brilliant.
Well, I just, you know, we even against the Giants, we couldn't get it. You know, we couldn't put the game away early.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was field goals. Let's get a couple of touchdowns here and they'll break. You know, we'll break them. And, you know, if a team's in the game, a team's in the game. And the Eagles are a good, you know, they've got a history of winning. So they know what they're doing. And, they're, you know, it's almost getting, well, 3-0 is not a, 0-3 is not a good place, is it? So they desperately need to win.
Yeah, they're desperate. You almost talked yourself into a Philadelphia pick there, I think.
No, I'm can't going do 49, it, though, can you?
All right, let's rattle through some of these other games. First of all, let me say, if anyone is staying up until 4:30 Friday morning to watch Denver at the New York Jets, you are a fan, super fan. Applaud you, credit to you. Brett Rypien is starting the game for Denver. He's the nephew of Mark Rypien, the old Washington quarterback. I'm going to go Denver because I think the Jets truly suck. Adam Gase is on his way out. So I'm going Broncos. What about you?
Yeah, I am as well. And it's my emotional pick because I like Vic Fangio. You know, I want him to do well.
All right.
He's an old school coach. And
yes, he definitely
waited a long time to be head coach. I'd love him to go well. Not that I've got any particular feeling for the Broncos, but I like Vic Fangio.
Baltimore at Washington football team.
Ravens, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Baltimore for me. Get
back
on track. Too
good a team.
Yeah. Well, I have to keep an eye out on Washington to see if Ron Rivera, you know, shies away from Dwayne Haskins at any point, because he said this week, he came out after Sunday's game and said Haskins won't learn unless he plays. And then a day later he said, then he said the other 52 guys in the locker room deserve to win. So I was like, okay, well, we'll see then.
It's so hard now, isn't it, these young quarterbacks? I do feel for them, chucked in.
So they used to be given like 3 years, right? Might be given 3 years to develop. Now you better have 3 weeks.
Well, there was a period where it was sit them, wasn't it? Sit them for a year. Don't. You know, Carson Palmer didn't play, did he? First year.
Even
Rogers
even
sat two and a half, 3 years.
Joe Montana sat for what? Two? Three?
Two. Yeah, didn't play.
Yeah, Marino play to his end of his first year.
Yeah. Now it's, you know, you've got to go in and, I mean, some of them, if you're not in a great situation, how hard is that as a young quarterback to deal with being the quarterback, so the leader, so the headline grabber, and then within weeks you're taking you're a bust. You know, once that's on you, it's difficult to get. I mean, Alex Smith, remember him? He came.
Yeah.
You know,
try and get that label off your back.
Truly terrible 49ers team in 05. Had five different offensive coordinators or something like that in 5 years. And had to deal with all that, and he's a good NFL quarterback, you know.
Yeah,
tough on these guys.
It is. Chargers at Tampa. So Chargers have got a young quarterback, Justin Herbert. He's lit them up a little
doing
bit.
Okay, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think making them more relevant, making them more exciting. But I think Tampa is starting to get their groove on offense. So I'm going to go Bucks.
I'm going to go Chargers.
Oh, nice on the
road. No, I don't think they're going to win, but I just want him to, you know, you've got to kill off the old guard at some point.
Exactly. Seattle at Miami. Oh, well, I'm going to Seattle all the way here. There's no way they slow Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's had 14 touchdown passes in 3 games. There's no way Miami's slowing
him down. I've got another mate who's a big Dolphins fan, and he's not been in a good place for a while. And I keep telling him, mate, all you need in the NFL is a quarterback and a pass rush and someone to catch the ball. I mean, the 49ers, you know, it doesn't take that long to turn a team around. The 49ers were dreadful.
Yep.
And now we're struggling to pay everyone because we've got this great, you know, we've got all these good players. So you've got to get a relevant quarterback and get a pass rush and you're on your way, aren't you?
But their relevant quarterback at the moment is sitting on the bench learning from Fitz, which I think is a good move.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm going to Seattle for now.
I'm just trying to think of a reason why the Dolphins might upset the Seahawks. I desperately hope they do. NFC West.
Yeah,
fans,
absolutely. I think the best bet is that there's like one of those 4-hour weather delays for due to a thunderstorm in Miami, and then Russell Wilson oversleeps in the locker room. That's our best. And then Geno Smith will come out or something.
Seahawks seem to just keep getting players who play well for them, don't they?
I know
just
they annoying. Do. Well, that's good coaching. That's a good organisation.
Yeah, good coach, yeah.
Let's go through these couple more quickly, these ones. Minnesota at Houston, two winless teams. I'm going to go Houston.
I'm going to go Minnesota then.
All right, you're going Minnesota. New Orleans at Detroit. So worries about Drew Brees stretching the field down the field. But I think Sean Payton's going to light a fire under this team. We're going to go New Orleans on the road.
Well, I've got an emotional attachment. You know, I play with Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I think.
They might have let me on the field with him once.
But I had the Lions beat the Cardinals last week, and I think the Cardinals are a decent team.
Yeah.
I'd love the Lions to do well. It's one of they've never been to a Super Bowl.
Pick them then. Go on.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going Lions. I mean, imagine being a Detroit. I met someone who said I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I just said, an English guy. I said, why? Why would? How? How did you do that? I mean, do you like Barry Sanders? I suppose maybe a reason. I'd love the Lions to win the Super Bowl at some stage.
All right. These two aren't going to win it anytime soon, I don't think. Jacksonville at Cincinnati. I'm going to get Joe Burrow his first win.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, chucked in. You know, good looking quarterback. Let's hope. I hope he comes through and doesn't get damaged. You know?
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, he's been sacked, I think, about 14 or 15 times. I read today in the first three games.
Well, I'm talking psychologically as well.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, you got to take your licks, but just psychologically, it must be tough.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Arizona at Carolina. So I'm going to go Arizona to get back on track. That was unlike Kyler Murray last week.
Yeah.
Both Arizona.
Yeah.
The Giants at the Rams. That's an easy one for me. That's the Rams. Giants are awful.
Yes, agreed.
And then last one is Monday Night Football. And ouch, you're the Atlanta Falcons. You've got nothing going on defense at the moment. You've blown two massive leads in back-to-back weeks, historic leads in the fourth quarter. Now you've got Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. Ouch, ouch, ouch. I'm going Green Bay.
I'm going to go Falcons just to be, you know, different.
Do you know what? Brilliant, because I've absolutely. I'm just seeing how many. I'm confident here. Let me just check how many different we've got.
I think you'll win, but I'm just picking the Falcons.
You're an entertainer. That's what you're doing.
Not really, but I just.
You're a contrarian.
Yeah.
4, 5. We've got 6 different. We've gone 6 different. So there's a chance this could be either really competitive or a blowout. Yeah.
I can't leave the house from next week. Folks, I'm so bad. Now, I just, you think come Falcons, you know, you've got to turn it around after. You must just be absolutely, or they'll just fold, or their season will just fold.
And right.
The game will be over in the first quarter.
I just don't know what they've got left. That's got to be too devastating. Because you tell me, it must be worse if you have games that are done and you've got a 90, whatever it was, that 98% win. They love that, the Americans, don't they? Win probability. But they were 98% win probability in the last two games and they lost them.
Yeah, but at least they should have won them both.
Right, yeah, true.
You know, you could be in a position where you were nowhere near winning them both. So you're in a position where we should have won these games and we haven't got it done. So you either, you know, that the games where you get a good beating, you get a good beating, you get what you deserve. The games where you should have won or you could have won and you lose, they're the ones that hurt you because you've let a defeat go, you know, let a victory go. Mm. If you're just not good enough, I mean, some of these teams at the moment are not great teams and they're just going to have to do as best they can, I guess. But the Falcons could have won those games, shouldn't they? Should have won those games.
Yeah, so no, absolutely.
That's the way to look at it and go, well, let's
get one.
Keep on doing the right things and cut out those bad things. So, you know, in a game, often there's like 2, 3, 4 things, you know, you change them. The game can be very different for both teams. So, you know, let's see what they've got.
You'll probably be laughing after
the first quarter.
I mean, once we've tallied these up, I should be sure to send you a text message.
I'm going to make you look good, Neil, sure.
I appreciate it. Jono, let's just finish off. I've got actually some notes here from producer Gary Hayes for today's episode, who says in this section, discuss Martin's rugby career, and then after that it says discuss his NFL fandom. Which do you want to talk about?
The latter.
I thought you would. That's what I thought. I just saw it. I've literally only just seen it and it made me chuckle. I think, Jono, I'd much rather talk NFL. How did you, like me, when you got into it, child of the 80s, watching on TV? Is it a familiar tale?
Exactly. Yeah. Just you know, you actually have to stop yourself and think back to those Sunday evenings when there was nothing to watch on TV. I mean, now you can just sit down. I can do anything. You can go. You know, we can go on the internet and do whatever, and it's brilliant. Mm. But there was a big gap there, wasn't there, that needed filling, and that hour on Channel 4. Oh my goodness, that was like it was like a gift from the gods, wasn't it? And the game was like nothing you'd ever seen. I mean, Yeah, you know, there was Dome Stadia playing on AstroTurf.
Right.
with this ball flying through the air, and it was just the glamour of it and the excitement of it and the everything of it was just a different level. The English sport, British sport, wasn't the premiership of football and rugby. They weren't where they are now.
No.
It was a bit, you know, it was a bit muddy winter's afternoon compared to what it is now. And
This will make you laugh. Sorry to interrupt. I saw a tweet the other day when we were, somebody showed it to me after we came off air on Sky Sports NFL. And it said, Sky Sports NFL, with its red zone updates coming into the main game and all the stats that are on the screen as well, is trying to be a bit too all singing, all dancing. It's all a bit too much now. It's like, God, if you knew what you used to... We used to have to wait a week for highlights. Now you've got like 5 live games a week. You can watch it on the BBC, Channel 5, Sky Sports. I mean, if you wanted to listen to live NFL, you had a coat hanger attached to your radio hanging out your window listening to the armed forces, which we all did as well. It's incredible
American
where we
got. American Forces Network Radio, from East Anglia,
Right. So it is just amazing where we've got to now.
And then it started that the paper started publishing it probably on a Tuesday morning.
Oh yeah, you just have to try and avoid the scores.
And the little really minute print where all the scores was of very little minor sports, they started printing it, didn't they?
Yeah.
So you could see what the scores were. Yeah, but it just getting you info. I can remember watching the highlights of the results, and some of these teams they'd never been on a game because obviously there'd only been so many games, and the big teams were playing the good games that were shown because it was a week delayed.
Hmm.
I've met the lady who used to fly to New York and pick up the tapes, fly and come back with them, you know, from the head office. But yeah, I remember watching, and there'd be teams like the Bengals would be on there, and the Kansas City. We didn't even know who they were, you know, these teams.
Right.
Were these.
It's like another world.
You know, tiger skin helmets. What the hell is this? You know.
Yeah.
You had no idea what was going on and who these people were.
No.
And it was so brilliant and mysterious. You didn't know much about it and what was going on, and the commentary was just mad. I mean, Don Meredith.
Yeah.
You listen to him now, and he's off his box for now. You listen to it then, Dandy Don Meredith. He's just hilarious. You know, just if you like that sort of stuff. So, it was just fascinating. I'd video it and wear the tape out.
Oh, tape after tape. Yeah. I used to tape all the just the highlights, all the touchdown bits, just play them back all the time. I actually, this is a sad announcement. I used to the 87 AFC Championship game. You remember where Ernest Byner? Yeah,
Broncos,
and Ernest Browns. And Ernest Byner fumbles inside the 5.
Yeah,
I used to turn the sound down and commentate over that.
Mate, it was all laid out, wasn't it? It was a pathway.
I know the answer to this one, but tell everyone, who's your favourite player?
You're thinking about Gary Big, aren't you?
Gary Big Hands Johnson or Joe Montana, of course.
Well, I'm always the same with favourite player because I didn't want to be the obvious. So Joe Montana, obviously, you know, was there and the big name guys. But I like to think I was a little bit cleverer and knew a little bit more in-depth stuff, you know. So I like the big guys, the linemen as well, because I was a big guy, I was a tall guy. So I like the linemen. So Gary Big Hands Johnson, I didn't even know who he was. And suddenly he's there in the NFC Championship game in 84 and in the Super Bowl. We had a great game. And we'd only got him that year. I mean, you didn't know who was signing where and what was happening. So Fred Dean, the defensive end, a fantastic defensive end called Fred Dean.
Yeah.
He used to smoke at half time, apparently.
Brilliant.
He did. I mean, they got him in 81, and I obviously read this years later. Mm. And we had a very young, 49ers had a very young secondary, three of them rookies, Ronnie Lott, Eric Wright, Carlton Williamson. And they were hitting people. But then the 49ers traded for Fred Dean early in the season, and this guy turned up, and Ronnie Lott said he was just the king of cool, and he became instantly their sort of leader without doing anything. He was just so cool, and he said he sat there at halftime and smoked I don't know what brand of cigarette it was. Not that I'm advocating this is cool, kids, in any way, but it was the 80s, and he just said the guy was incredible, and he had I remember seeing the quote when he said, sometimes I feel like going to lift weights. I just sit down and wait till that feeling goes. Yeah. So he was just a natural. It's only about £235 for a game,
right,
but
yeah.
he could.
Just a.
He was a phenomenon. They traded for him, and they played the Cowboys. And that game is now on a. You can now access it on the internet, and I'm not going to say where, but we all know. And,
okay.
Because they occasionally take them off, but he destroyed the Cowboys' offensive line. You know, he just destroyed them. Came on, they used him as a specialist pass rusher, which in itself was quite unique, and he just. Just destroyed people and picked them up and threw them aside. You know,
fantastic.
He was, anyway, so sorry.
I've got one more question, then we're out of time. I know you do, yeah, all equally. I know you're a big historian. I am as well. We actually had a great trip together to the Hall of Fame.
You did
a bunch of filming. Do you remember over a few days? We actually got told off, if you remember, at the end of what was a really busy weekend of filming.
Sitting down.
And sat down in the end zone, leaning up against the advertising hoardings, watching the Hall of Fame game, eating a hot dog.
Jet lagged out of that box.
And the steward came round very, very quickly and told us that we couldn't sit down on the side of the field.
More than a steward, wasn't he? I think he was NFL going, man.
Yeah, I think he was.
You're making it look like some sort of...
You look like you're sitting in a park. Yeah. But do you have... So we both really love the NFL history side of things. Do you have a favourite moment?
Oh, not one. I think... favourite moment? Wow, that's such a good question.
It's hard, though, when you've got so many.
Yeah, I guess the birth of the modern NFL is really Super Bowl III, isn't it? I mean, they always talk about the who scored the touchdown. The Colts beat the Giants in the championship game in 59, something like that, when they had the birth of the sort of TV.
Mm.
But that's too long ago for me to... The 67, and again, if you watch that game and watch the documentaries of Namath talking about the Jets and the Colts in Super Bowl III, they were not given any hope of
of
even, you know, remotely competing with them, and for him to have all that pressure on him, and for the other Jets players to sort of say that he was so cool, and I think for a very laid back sort of guy, the laid back demeanor, very very annoyed and peed off with. The disrespect that was thrown towards his team, and then the way, well, actually he was, by modern standards, he was incredibly respectful in the way he behaved. But in the late 60s, he was seen.
He was a wild man.
Yeah, he was seen as some sort of degenerate.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a sign in the crowd with "Namath is a hippie" written on it.
Like that could be the worst thing you could tell him.
Oh my God! And he isn't a hippie. I mean. You know, but for him to pull that off.
Yeah.
And he was calling his own plays. I mean, he was calling his own plays and he called them at the line of scrimmage. He just adjusted. He was so smart. I mean, he said the Colts weren't going to change themselves for the Jets because almost in a way that was admitting.
Right. We were fearful. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not going to do it. So we know what they do. And they blitz and whatever, and we'll just, if they blitz, we'll throw. And he had a quick release, and you watch the game. Everything was checked with me at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and he called his own shot. He guaranteed it, and he did it from a sun lounger. That's the way to hold a press conference.
Yeah, interviewed on the sun lounger. And
different days, different times.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. I mean, just watch. I advise any sort of. I get friends who get into it or watch it, and I say just go and watch some of the old. Not that he watched America's Game documentaries, that are very well done, and just see where the thing has come from, because it's you know they were regarded as a bit of a second rate league at best in that era, and you know them, and they just by all accounts leveled it overnight, and the next year the Chiefs won, handily, and off we went.
Cool. All right. Good stuff, Jono. This has been a lot of fun. Good luck with your picks.
Well, you know, I'll live with it, whatever happens, as long as the 49ers can, we can keep on winning until we get everyone back.
Yes, that's what you need, just to hold the fort down until those reinforcements arrive.
We'll get a few back. I don't think we'll get some back till next season, unfortunately. But actually, you know, Mullen's playing well.
Yeah.
You know, you that's at the very least he becomes draft capital, doesn't he? If Garoppolo,
yeah,
you know, is our man, if you've got a guy who's proven himself as a you know, he's potential draft capital.
Mm, absolutely. All right. Now, before we go, make sure you head over to our social channels. We're the @NRPodcast on Twitter and Instagram, where you can track our picks and scores throughout the season. Also, send us your game picks using the hashtag GamePicks, and we'll compare how you got on against us. Good stuff, Jono. All the best, and I really appreciate you joining me.
No problem, mate. Anytime.
All right. Thank you to Martin Johnson and to all of you for listening, and we'll see you next time. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest, and may the best NFL fan win. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. Game Picks is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more Game Picks.